It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, sponsored by Trenton Interiors. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as hotline sponsor Fairway Cars. Now here's your host for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7, title sponsor of Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. Give them a call, 255-7698, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. Newly renovated Rogers Furniture Building. You can buy you a fireplace, I hear.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Go check them out. Countertops, cabinets, they do it all for you there at Trenton Interiors. Go see them. Louisiana Tech coming off a W. Not so fancy W by FIU. And then a big game Saturday when Louisiana Lafayette travels to Ruston to play the Bulldogs. It was a lackluster game. There was no glitz and glamour about it. Kenneth Dixon did his thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was all Kenneth Dixon. And
he got the opening touchdown on a long run. And the last touchdown run he had was just vintage Kenneth Dixon, never giving up on a play.
Yeah, I mean, so many times, even against Kansas State, he had a run like that where it looks like he's tackled. There's two or three guys, and he just throws them off of him, and he emerges from the pile and takes off. And the first run, though, was the best one. I mean, that's when he just totally juked the guy and just took off to the house, and nobody's going to catch him.
Yeah, I'm not sure that FIU safety has found his jockstrap yet. I think it's still laying on the turf inside Joe Addy Stadium.
Whoop.
He was gone. Some positives for the game were the running game. I think the FIU corners were better than I was expecting.
Yeah, I mean, we really thought, okay, their run defense is pretty good. We sat right here last week and said, you know, they got the issues at safety. I bet Tech's going to attack them across the middle with Taylor. Let's see what this highly touted run defense can do. And just pound Dixon, and they couldn't stop him.
They could not. Not in the least. I mean, Trent Taylor did have a really good day, but I'm not sure that there's a defense in America that can stop him.
I mean, Kansas State couldn't.
I mean, Auburn had problems with him last year.
He just finds a little spot in the field, gets open, catches the ball, takes a pounding, and gets back up and does it again.
It was nice to see Paul Turner back out there. Carlos Henderson, I don't know. He's not 100% yet. I mean, I think it's fair to say that. He had two catches in the end zone that he very well could have come down with but didn't, especially the one in the second half. I mean, he needed to catch that ball.
He's still stretching the field, though. The two catches for 41 yards, 20.5 average, that's the best on the team, and he keeps doing that every game. So even if he's going to catch just two passes a game, but also just keep that defense's attention a little bit and stretch the field, it helps open it up for Dixon. And that's why Dixon was able to average, 6.8 yards a carry or something like that. Yeah, 25 carries, 169 yards.
Do you have any concerns for Henderson stopping on routes?
I don't. I mean, this is just his second year to play, and he's learning. He'll figure it out. I mean, he's got so much raw potential and so much ability. And he's, you know, maybe getting by on that a little more than, you know, maybe he should be doing a little bit more route running or whatever. But he's getting there. He'll figure it out. Now, we know he's still not 100% with his hand, so I'm not worried about him at all.
And then Jeff Driscoll finishes 18 for 32 for 226 yards. Kenneth Dixon, the 25 carries for 169 yards. Trent Taylor, 7 catches for 86.
And Driscoll didn't have to run 20 times like he did against Kansas State. He ran 6 times for 29 yards, just enough to keep the defense honest.
Yeah, I really think Jeff Driscoll is really coming into his own in this offense. He can throw. He can run. I His accuracy wasn't great this past Saturday. I think he would probably admit that. This is the first game we've seen that from him, though. Maybe it was somewhat to do with that FIU defense, but he's a special player.
Oh man, he's fitting this team perfectly, and you hate to think, okay, well, who are they going to bring in next year? You know, you hate to keep relying on these senior transfer quarterbacks, but man, it's been nice the last 2 years to have them.
And one thing that I did forget to talk about introing the show, we have two tickets to give away for the ULL game Saturday. We'll come up with a good way to give those away later in the show. And also at 6:30, Jay Walker, the play-by-play voice for the Raging Cajuns, will join us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. Looking forward to that. There's not many people who know the team better than the man who calls the play-by-play.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the authorities on the Raging Cajuns, and he has been for a long time, so it'll be good to hear his side of the
especially since there's history to this game. Tech won 7 straight, looking for an 8th straight, but we'll get more into that starting at 6:30 with Jay Walker joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Yeah, and talking about the history, I mean, I think they've played, you know, for over 100 years now, and yeah, Tech's on a 7-game win streak, but before that, you know, the series is like 39-33 Tech, so now it's 46-33, so Tech's stretching it out a little bit, but it's always been a pretty competitive rivalry.
Oh, without a doubt. And going back to FIU, defensively, I think we kind of underestimated Alex Gardner's ability to run and to maybe ad-lib a little bit. He didn't have a whole lot of help because his receivers were hardly ever open. But he escaped the pocket a good bit. I opened up for questions on bleedtechblue.com on the message board about some questions that the people wanted answered tonight. One of them was pass rush. I actually thought the pass rush was decent Saturday.
Yeah, it was. It's getting better each game. You know, Tech's not getting the turnovers that they got last year, but I think it's coming. ULL is -2 per game in turnover margin and one of the worst teams in the country. So, I mean, this is Tech's chance to really get after the quarterback and make something happen. But, yeah, Gardner, they bottled up rushing the ball. 14 carries, 29 yards. He couldn't go anywhere. But what they did was get the ball to him in the passing game, 9 catches, 70 yards. So, yeah, he would get the ball out there in the flat and make somebody miss. And that's really what Tech's had to do with Dixon a lot, and FIU kind of used that same play.
There's still some concern for Tech defending tight ends. I thought that Lloyd Grogan defended tight ends pretty well. There was times that C.J. Cleveland defended him when he dropped a surefire pick 6. Cleveland did when he was defending a tight end. But you look at Yakeem Griner with 7 catches for 64 yards, and then had Jonnu Smith been healthy, I think he got banged up a little bit in that game, 3 catches for 43 yards. So that's an area of concern a little bit for Louisiana Tech is defending the tight end.
Yeah, Jonnu Smith was their big target, you know, 3 catches, 43 yards, then he got hurt. So like, oh, wow, you know, now what are they going to do? Well, they just bring in Yakeem Griner, who's the backup, 7 catches, 64 yards, and a touchdown. So apparently they're pretty deep at tight end.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, Tech, they have 2 of them that are, let's call them 6'4", 250. Excuse me. And Tech rolls out Cam McKnight, who's 6'3", 230. Yeah. And he's a redshirt freshman.
And he's more of an inside receiver. I mean, Tech's just really not playing that true tight end. Haven't really for a few years, it seems like. But it's just a different style of offense. But whatever, you know, Tech's doing is working because – I mean, did you see, I think it was Sean Isabella tweeted, after 4 games, Tech's offense is on a better pace than the 2012 Sonny Dykes offense that broke all kinds of records. So that's just mind-boggling to me.
That opens up, that's a perfect segue into another one of the questions on the message board was the drops. Are Tech receivers dropping passes? Sure, they definitely are. But you're dealing with some injuries to your prime playmakers like Paul Turner, Carlos Henderson, and then you're depending on young guys like a Marlon Watts, Cam McKnight, Marcus Gaines. So you're going to have that with young players.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Trent Taylor dropping one maybe against Kansas State where one of the last two games he tried to turn
it upfield.
It was
K-State for sure.
Henderson dropped one against Western Kentucky that would have been a touchdown, hit him in the hands, but he's the one that's dealing with a broken hand, and he didn't play against Southern really.
And Cam McKnight dropped a touchdown pass late in the game against WKU.
So, I mean, is it a problem? I don't think it's a problem. Would it be nice to have had those?
It's a concern. It's a concern right now, but I don't think it's a huge concern.
No, I think, as long as Carlos keeps getting healthy, I mean, that's going to be fine. As long as Cam McKnight keeps getting more playing time. He didn't really play a whole lot against Southern, and so then he's thrown in there against Western Kentucky. First time ever really playing Division I football. It's going to take some time, but I don't have a problem. And then another question we had was, are the coaches too nice? Do the players have that healthy fear of the coaches? We're not in that locker room every day, but I feel like they do get a maximum effort out of that team. And I think a lot of times, whether it's the coaches or even the seniors, I mean, they're demanding that they pick up their game and play hard. I mean, I think anybody on that offense is going to play hard, or Kenneth Dixon's going to get in their face, So, I don't know. I do see a couple of players, sometimes that seem like, maybe they do, not do what they're supposed to do, where they're stopping on a route short or maybe missing a blocking assignment. But I guarantee you that's getting corrected.
But here's the flip side of that. Does Tech have the depth to really be able to enforce any repercussions for that kind of behavior?
Well, I mean, as far as the receivers, if you have one or two that are stopping short on routes or not blocking like they're supposed to, they're not the deepest team in the world at receiver, but there's players.
Especially for proven guys. They're deep because they've got guys that have ability, but
I guarantee you there's players on that second team that are itching for a chance. And, maybe they're not quite as talented as the starters, but yeah, I guarantee you, if that keeps happening, there will be somebody else in there.
So that brings me to another point of is Tech still reeling from recruiting woes of Sonny Dykes?
I don't think so. I think 2013, Coach Holtz came in here a very short amount of time and had to get JUCOs in here to get talent, and that was a lot of the keys to the success of last year. Terrell Pinson. Tony Johnson at middle linebacker, Mitchell Bell at right tackle, some of your better players.
Nick Thomason.
Yeah, some of your better players over the last 2 years were in that class. So,
but receiver, they've struggled.
Yeah, so just that 2013 class in general was not there. So then he gets a really good 2014 class of all high school kids, and
it's going to take a little while.
It's going to take a while. They've only been here for, 1 year, and then the 2015 class just got here. So
And receiver's a position that it's hard to jump in and contribute immediately.
Yeah, so Marlon Watts and Marcus Gaines got thrown into action as true freshmen last year. Cam McKnight was able to redshirt. Carlos Henderson was one of the few high school players in that 2013 class, along with, I think, Trent Taylor.
Yeah, and Carlos redshirted as well.
Yeah, so, there are some good ones that they were able to get, and they're playing. But, maybe Sanford Say hasn't really worked out yet. Another receiver that was part of that JUCO class of 2013 is already gone. Mari losing his name, Eddie Johnson. And
Kevin Gaze is actually still here.
Yeah, so, I mean, the depth is not there. They're recruiting heavy on defense the last year, 2015 class and this upcoming 2016 class. So I feel like you will see some more freshmen in this upcoming sign of class. The two that they signed last year have not played yet, and that looks like they're going to redshirt. So they are trying to build some depth there, but they just haven't got on the field yet.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors of Ruston, 111 North Trenton Street in downtown Ruston. Trenton Interiors and Company for all your interior designing and decorating needs, from cabinets to appliances. They got it all. Go call, give them a call, 255-7698. They will help you with anything you need.
And this hour is sponsored by Brister Smokehouse. You can go get the famous Skyler Low, but my recommendation is the Ribbon Cheese on sourdough. It's the best. And I think Tabor agrees.
I think Tabor's wanting one. But a special thanks to Trenton Interiors. We couldn't do it without those guys. We were looking at the statistical rankings during the break. We'll go through Louisiana Tech and where they sit in the NCAA right now. Total offense, can't argue with it, 17th overall. Rush offense, 44th. Passing offense, 20th. Pass efficiency, 52. Means the accuracy is not all that awesome, but it's working. Scoring offense, 25th.
And actually, pretty disciplined team, too. Tied for 29th in the country with only 5.25 penalties a game. And, you know, I hate to call out a true freshman, but, hey, I mean, O'Shea Dugas is a true freshman. He got thrown into the starting role, you know.
He's probably 50% of those
penalties.
Yeah,
I mean, he's getting a few of those false starts. So once he cleans that up, I mean, this team is not having a whole lot of penalties.
Oh, not at all. In rush defense, Tech is up to number 28 in the country. Now, passing yards allowed, they're 102nd. So they may be stopping the run, but this is the so far Tech defensively has been classic bend but don't break.
Yeah, and you know, I felt like Kansas State had to abandon the run for a while and throw against Tech because they just couldn't get anywhere running. And then at one point in the second half, they finally did just put together a drive where they just said, look, nothing's working on offense. We're going to run the ball right down Tech's throat. And they did. I mean, the guy, I should remember his name because they kept calling his name over and over, but the running back.
Sillman,
yeah. He would get like 8 or 9 yards of carry on that whole drive, and they went down and scored a touchdown. And that's, I think, when they first tied the game up. But then Tech went right back down there and answered. And so, and then I think got a stop and was really in control. So, other than that one drive, Kansas State was not able to run against Tech.
You talk about Tech not getting the turnovers that they did last year, and probably expecting that number of turnovers was unrealistic.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get that same number because it was so big, but
have teams challenged Tech down the middle of the field deep like they did last year, or even deep at all? They're not, because they know that Xavier Woods is back there, and Tech's corners have good ball skills downfield.
Well, and you know, and I still think Tech's getting good enough pressure on them that they just don't have a ton of time to hang around and throw those deep balls. And
everybody's nickeling and diming Tech on defense.
Yeah, and that's the way to do it, because you're trying to get the ball out quick. Just like we talked about, the running back from FIU had like 9 catches out of the backfield, or 7 catches, whatever it was. They're trying to get the ball out in the flats quickly, basically like a screen pass, and just take advantage of Tech putting so much pressure up front and trying to hit them in that second level. And
bend but don't break.
Yeah, and that's really the way to attack a pressure defense is try to get it out in the flats, get it to the running back, hit the tight end, something quick, because you don't have time to wait on that receiver, you know, to get open 20 or 30 yards down the field.
You look at pass efficiency defense, Tech's a little bit better, 91st. I mean, not much. Scoring defense, 84th. You take that Western Kentucky game out, and Tech's doing pretty well. And a triple overtime game.
Yeah, I mean, they essentially held Kansas State to, 23 points, so whatever.
I won't stand on that soapbox of how bad the NCAA overtime rules are again. Nobody wants to hear that again. They did. They held FIU to 17. And Tech, it could have scored 7 more, but kneeled it instead. So and Carlos Henderson's dropped touchdown, didn't they? They missed a field goal after that, is that right? Or no, that was a different side of the field, so no. Did they get 3 after that? I can't remember
either. Tex, you know, tied for 79th in turnover margin, negative 0.25, so not great, but they did not get a turnover against FIU, but they did have a fumble recovery against both Western Kentucky and Kansas State.
And they didn't turn the ball over at all against FIU.
Yeah, and like we talked about, Tech might be negative 0.25 per game. ULL is negative 2 per game. So they're having way more of a problem with turnovers, and Tech's got to take advantage of that. I feel like this game, and we'll talk about ULL a whole lot more coming up in the next 2 segments, but this game really, I think, with Tech's run defense, with ULL relying on the run so much, this really plays into Tech's hands. Tech's going to be able to put pressure on the quarterback, stop the run like they did against FIU and force that quarterback to try to make quick decisions, and that's when I think we will see some turnovers.
Because Kenneth Dixon's been so good this year, probably better than last year, honestly. Do you think we haven't seen as much of Jared Kraft so far? And what we've seen of Jared Kraft, I'll say this, I've been impressed.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Holt said this week, you know, Kenneth doesn't want to come out of the game. This is his senior year. Then you have Martin and Kraft both with hand injuries early in the year. So there was a couple of times when there was nobody available unless you get down to the fourth string, Boston Scott maybe. So, I mean, Dixon's just not coming out, and he doesn't seem to let – fatigue get to him. He's still strong in the fourth quarter. We saw some big runs late in both of these last two games. So, yeah, I mean, I really think you could see him go for even more yards than last year. I mean, he's already over 500 yards. I think last year it was 1299. The year before was 917. He only got 150 carries in 2013. He's already got half that many this year. Last season, he had 250. So I think he's on pace for a little less, you know, maybe around 225. But then you got to think about bowl game and Conference USA championship game. So he might be right on pace with last season, but he's almost at half the yards. You know, he had 5.1 yards a carry last year. He's at 7.2 right now. And that includes Kansas State, which is a Power 5 team, and FIU, which was supposed to be one of the better run defenses in the country.
I've forgotten to mention our hotline and text line the first 2 seconds. Fairway Carts of Minden, hotline and text line, 888-993-7762, 888-993-7762. A few more minutes left of this segment before in 6:30 we go to that hotline and talk to Jay Walker, play-by-play announcer for the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana Lafayette. So give us a call, 888-993-7762, or a text. What were your thoughts on the FIU game, or expectations and hopes and dreams and all that good stuff on ULL, 888-993-7762. Going back to FIU just a little bit, the kicking game was better. Jonathan Barnes did miss a 45-yard field goal. That's disappointing. I thought they mixed in Logan McPherson's rugby punting pretty well Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as much as some people hate that, I mean, sometimes it's necessary. And you know, he gets a lot of good bounces that really gets him a pretty decent average sometimes, and it just negates the return. That's the biggest thing.
You cannot return it.
And so, yeah, I mean, mixing it in.
And if you do, you're likely going to muff it.
Yeah, so mixing it in is great. I really think, you know, it serves a purpose. So they've really been pretty good at, I think, game management, doing, you know, decisions like that. I thought against Kansas State at the end of the game, Coach Holtz decided to punt and was able to use his three timeouts, get the ball back, and then they were able to go tie the game up there at the end of regulation, you know. So those are really, I think, good play call and good decision there. So you're not going to have any of these, you know, game management freakouts like you see at some of these SEC schools around here. Making some really smart choices and really managing the game well, and just letting his players play. And I think when you have seniors like you have in Dixon, Paul Turner, Jeff Driscoll, hey, let them play. They're going to go make something happen.
And Brunson was back. Joseph Brunson was back at center Saturday. He and David Mahaffey rotated in and out. They are letting O'Shea Dugas get his experience. They're not rotating at left guard. They don't rotate at right guard. It's really only rotating at right tackle and center.
Yeah, and so you've got Brunson and Mahaffey at center. That's letting Dugas get to play. Robinson's getting to play at right guard, the senior. And so, but the good thing is you have both Brunson and Mahaffey that can play guard if needed. So you've got a experience.
And they'll both be back next year.
Yeah, and you've got experience at center or guard, and then they're mixing in Carpenter and Danielson, and if one of them's needed over at left tackle, they can play there. So you've got seven guys with experience that are healthy right now. Find the best five, let them play, and that seems to be what they're doing.
FIU's defensive ends rush the passer pretty dang well. Darryl Brown held his own. There was times on the right side that it wasn't pretty.
Yeah, and I don't know if Danielson was dealing with something or not. It seemed like he was getting checked on by the trainers a couple of times over on the west side, you know, when he was out of the game. So I don't know what was going on there. But, yeah, that's the good thing is Carpenter's got some experience already as a redshirt freshman. they've got two guys they can choose from, and so they'll get that figured out.
It didn't look like Connor Smith was limping Saturday at the game. So if they can get him added back this week for ULL, that'd be big time as well.
Yeah, that's some of the depth we talked about at receiver, you know, having just another veteran option to put out there and not have to rely on freshmen. You've got another guy now that can go out there and make something happen, especially in the blocking game.
And Henderson got nicked up on an end-around. I believe it was an end-around late in the game. I came off the field. Coach Holtz yesterday during his press conference said that he was limited Sunday night. They didn't practice yesterday, but he's expected to be full go from tonight on. I doubt that he'll be a full go tonight and tomorrow, because what's the point? You're just game planning at this point, and you're just putting there's not a whole lot of contact going on during midweek trying to get some guys healthy. So I think that this team overall is pretty healthy. You think of some teams around the country, and they've got guys, they've lost guys for the season.
Oh yeah,
Tech potentially has lost Kirby Wixon to the season, but thankfully there's some depth at center, and that's not as big of a concern as really we probably would have thought. If you would have told Tech fans in August that Kirby Wixon may miss the year, they would have been freaking out.
Yeah, that's your most veteran, established offensive lineman, the one that's getting named to all the watch lists. But, yeah, you've got both two guards, Brunson and Mahaffey, that can play center. And then if you get your backup center from the beginning of the year back healthy, you've got another option there. So they seem to be doing pretty good, and I think a lot of that has to be with how good Dugas is.
One last topic before we get to the break, and Jay Walker, play-by-play announcer for the Raging Cajuns. Attendance was very disappointing Saturday.
Well, it was funny. I'm sitting on the west side, and I look up to my left and my right, and it's pretty full. I mean,
I thought the west side was fine.
It doesn't look like, you know, quite as heavily attended as the Southern game on the west side. But then you look across the field on the east side, and the students were there right in the front, a few sections, but up top there was nobody.
The double O was there were no shows Saturday. And that's normally one of the most raucous sections in the stadium.
Yeah, and, you know, hopefully some of that was just afternoon game. People, it's on TV, you know, it's
and prior hot. And prior commitments.
Yeah, and it's
that side does get brutal hot.
It does. You're staring right into the sun. So, I mean, that's the downside of TV, but you want your program to be on TV. You want to have that opportunity for people to see you in other parts of this country. But hopefully this week.
I don't think this week will be a problem for attendance. Yeah, somebody on the message board said that they thought it could be upwards of 25. I don't disagree.
Yeah, it should be up around 24, 25, I would think, because, number one, fans from around here have heard of ULL. A lot of them have not heard of FIU. The game's at night. It won't be so hot.
Yeah, the weather's supposed to be beautiful. It's like the high of 82 and a low in the 50s. I mean, perfect weather.
And maybe some people from out of town that can't come to every game, maybe they were waiting to come to this one, and they just skipped last.
And Saturday will be Legends Day, so former Lettermen are invited back. I know a lot of people who are coming in this ULL game almost feels like homecoming, as many people as are coming in. So that's a good thing for this game, is there needs to be a lot of fannies in the seats. Again, we'll give tickets away later in the show. Stay tuned here to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. This segment has been brought to you by National Jewelry here in Ruston. It's where I got my engagement ring and for my wife, and she couldn't be more pleased. We are married now, so it's not just an engagement ring. We'll be back right after this on Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. Give them a call, 318-255-7698, for all your interior decorating and design needs in a historic Rogers Furniture Building. Let's go to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline and talk to our friend Jay Walker down in Lafayette about the Raging Cajuns. How's it going, Jay?
If I have any more fun, I'm going to be triplets. This is just terrific. I just can't wait for some cool weather and that everything will be perfect.
It will be cool in Ruston Saturday. So there's what you're looking forward to right there.
There you go. I can't wait to get there.
Well, Jay, you did a five questions feature with me on BleedTechBlue.com this week, and our subscribers got a chance to read that. You were very honest, and the Cajuns have had some woes this year. Where are the biggest woes for the Cajuns right now?
Well, first of all, thank you for suggesting that I was honest. I usually try to be. I think this football team has got some issues, and I think the biggest thing, it was my biggest concern going into the season, was going to be the defensive front, because you lost a guy who was a draft pick of the Green Bay Packers. You lost another guy who was a first team All Sun Belt Conference pick a year ago. And those are two pretty big shoes to fill, and they had a little bit of experience, but nobody of that caliber. And I was concerned about the defensive line, specifically with their ability to have a pass rush. And then, about two series into the first game, Darzel Washington, who is the Cajuns' best pass rusher, goes down with an injury, and they haven't had anybody to replace him. And I think that's been the biggest issue with this team. You've got a secondary that's young for the most part and right now has a few injuries. And yeah, you've got, you don't have Terrence Broadway back at quarterback, but I do think that defensive front and the inability to get a pass rush on their own has been an issue for this football team.
And Jay, you look at it, you go into your point about that defensive line. I mean, you look at the Northwestern State game, gave up 234 yards on the ground to them. Last week, 220 yards on the ground to Akron. And then you look at the opening week against Kentucky, 178 yards. Is that because of that defensive line?
Well, I think part of it is, I think that, the thing about your defensive line is, if they're good, it's not that they necessarily make a lot of tackles. It's that they do things to be able to take care of blockers to where your linebackers can make tackles. And I think it has been an issue. I don't know that numbers always tell the whole story, but I think in this case, yeah, probably so. That's one of the reasons why teams have had success running the football. I don't think this team has tackled very well. That's the other thing. Doesn't matter what your personnel, well, it does matter, but regardless of what your personnel is, if you can wrap people up and get them to the ground, then your numbers are going to be better. And I don't think they've done a very good job of that. As a matter of fact, said as we started that I was being honest. Well, I'll give you a piece of news that you guys don't know yet. We're not coming this weekend because I don't think we I don't know that we're going to tackle Dixon. No, seriously, he's a great back, and I've done a lot of Louisiana Tech, Louisiana football games over the years, and Tech has had some very good running backs. I think this guy's the best one I've ever seen, and what makes him so great is you can't bring him down in the first hit. His yards after contact have got to be out of this world. And I was thinking about this earlier, Jonathan. Leonard Fournette, Kenneth Dixon, Elijah McGuire. You can go to any state in the union, and I don't think you're going to find three running backs that good.
All three of those names were mentioned in Monday morning press conference for Louisiana Tech, and the same thing was said. Coach Holtz agrees with you wholeheartedly.
Well, when you stop and think about it, it's pretty crazy because I know how good McGuire is, all right, and because I've been watching him for 2 years plus. I've seen Dixon once in person, which was enough for me, and I've seen him on television a few times. And, we see what Fournette is doing. That's an incredible amount of talent right there.
It is. You look at the first opening week against Kentucky, a game that ended up being very, very close. What happened in that game, and what hasn't happened since?
Well, you know, I think in that game, first of all, I think it's a game that Cajun should have won. And I didn't say could have won. I think it's a game they should have won. They had a fumble inside the 10-yard line, getting ready to go in for a touchdown. They have first and goal at the one. They get a holding penalty on a touchdown. They have to settle for a field goal. They had a drop on a sure touchdown pass. I mean, they'll have 17 points right there. They're minus three in the turnover margin, and they lose by a touchdown. I mean, that's a football game they should have won. I thought they dominated Northwestern State like they were supposed to do. And last week, you know, I think it's a couple of things, and a lot's been made over the move into the Athletic Performance Center, and I'm not going to get into all of that. I'm going to say this. Akron is a better football team than anybody around here thought they were. That's the first thing. They're very good defensively. Their front seven is probably the best front seven we're going to face all year long. And so I think that nobody around here gave Akron enough credit. And the other thing was, look, I don't think this football team was ready to play. And it could have been, if it's because of the move or because of anything else, I'm not going to get into that. I just know that this team wasn't ready to play. They're a better football team than what they showed on Saturday. But they did not play well. They didn't play well in any facet of the game, except maybe the punting. And if that's what you're going to hang your hat on, you're going to get hung, because you're not going to win football games if the best thing that you say is you got a good punter.
Well, hey, Jay, this is Jason, and I think you're right, and I was going to ask you this question. So given what happened last year in the Tech versus the Cajuns game and then last week against Akron, I really feel like they're going to come to play this week. They're going to have a chip on their shoulder. Do you expect them to have a turnaround game and bring their A game?
Well, they better, because if they don't, it's going to be a very long night. Last year, I think everybody, including people in Ruston, probably undervalued Louisiana Tech at the beginning of the year.
Oh, I doubt about it.
I don't think anybody had a clue how good that team was going to be. And so, you know, they came in 12-point underdogs against the Cajuns last year. And look, I'm going to be honest. Were you guys at the game last year, either one of you?
Absolutely. Yeah, we were both there.
Okay. All right. Do you guys remember what happened on the opening kickoff? You know, the Tech kicks off, and Montrell Carter receives the kick, and at about the 12-yard line, he gets undressed.
I do remember that. It was C.J. Cleveland.
And I looked at my broadcast partner, and we didn't say a word, but we could communicate mentally, and it was, oh, my gosh, these guys have come to play. And I think that first play sent a message, and I don't think the Cajuns ever recovered. And I really do believe that Tech used that win kind of as a springboard to have a very, very good season, one that at the beginning of the year no one expected them to have. Well, Tech's not sneaking up on anybody now. That's a good football team, and everybody that they play knows that it's a good football team. And the Cajuns know that that's a good football team. They could bring their A game, and it might not be good enough. But if they don't bring their A game, it's not going to be a pretty sight for Cajun fans, because I really think that Louisiana Tech is better than Kentucky. I think Louisiana Tech is better than Akron. And I think Louisiana Tech is better than anybody in the Sun Belt Conference. I think this is the best team the Cajuns are going to play this year.
Well, and that's pretty good company, too, because, I mean, Akron's looking pretty good this year, and, hey, Georgia Southern, really good. But
well, we don't play Georgia Southern.
Oh, well.
You know, and because of the weird conference. Now, I did say better than anybody in the Sun Belt Conference, and I don't know how anybody does against Georgia Southern, because they run that crazy offense that's almost impossible to prepare for. But I'll tell you what, I've seen Tech play twice, ironically, both in the games that they lost. And their front four is very, very good. Their offense is excellent. And, they didn't I don't think they missed much of anything going from Sokol to Driscoll. And, you know, they're very good up front. They got some guys that can catch the football, and Dixon is Dixon. I mean, that's a really good offensive football team.
Well, you mentioned the struggles of the Cajuns on offense against Kentucky when they had some chances to win the game. And we were talking about earlier about Leonard Fournette, Kenneth Dixon, some of these bigger running backs. How much is the struggles on offense can be attributed to just, you know, missing a guy like Terrence Broadway on at quarterback, and then also Alonzo Harris? I mean, he's kind of the same mold as Fournette, and he 12 carries, 74 yards last year against Tech. Tech could not stop Harris, but then when Tech got ahead a little bit, they had to get away from him and start passing, and I think that kind of hurt. If they could have kept going to Harris, you know, they were having success there against Tech.
I think he hit it on the head. You know, sure, they missed Broadway because he was a three-year starter, but the guy they really miss is Alonzo Harris, because, you know, Harris, first of all, third and one, third and two, he was going to get a first down 98% of the time. He was a little bit like Dixon in that he was very hard to bring down on the first hit. Didn't have Dixon's speed, perhaps, but had that kind of toughness. The other thing that Harris brought to the table is it allowed Mark Hudspeth and Jay Johnson, the offensive coordinator, to do some things with Elijah McGuire that got him in space. And when he's in space, he's almost impossible to bring down.
He's scary good.
And you know, that's why they loved putting McGuire and Harris in the game at the same time. And because you had to pay attention to Harris, and if you paid attention to Harris, then all of a sudden McGuire was there. They miss Harris because now Eli's got to be the guy between the tackles. They haven't been able to get him out in space nearly as much, and because of that, he's not been quite as explosive. Now, he's special, and on times when you can get him a seam, it doesn't take much for him to go. But not having Harris there, I think, really limits him a little bit offensively as to what he can do.
Well, who do you expect to start at quarterback Saturday for the Cajuns?
I'm going to say Jalen Nixon, and I don't have any inside information on that. I believe the reason that Nixon hasn't started yet, well, he was hurt against Northwestern. But Mark Hudspeth alluded to something in his press luncheon this week about Jalen now making better decisions off the field, whether we're talking about classwork or any other things. And I know that Jay Johnson, the offensive coordinator, is really big on stuff like that. You know, it's about what you're doing in class, you know, what you're doing on the field, what you're doing in the locker room. It's about the way you carry yourself in public. And I think that they were not totally happy with the way Nixon was handling that part of it. But Hudspeth said he's doing a much better job. And I think, honestly, that's what kept him from being a starting quarterback in one of the two games that he was available to play in. It's just a hunch on my part, but I'm going to say Nixon's going to start at quarterback.
And he was very impressive when he was able to play against Kentucky. 4 out of 4, 38 yards, and then 5 carries for 37 yards and a touchdown. And, I mean, the guy's 6'2", 226. He's a load.
No, he is. And I think that his ability to run the football and his ability to get tough yardage inside might enable the Cajuns early in the game to maybe do some things with McGuire that they haven't been able to do with Nixon in the game, because when Nixon's been in the game, the Cajuns have been behind.
Yeah, you get him in a little option situation where you can pitch it to McGuire. It could be a recipe for success for the Cajuns.
Well, you know, Louisiana likes to run the zone read, and it's that play where the quarterback has the option of handing the ball off or pulling it out and running himself. And the Cajuns have had great success over the years with Jerry Babb and Michael Desormeaux and Blaine Gauthier and Terrence Broadway running that type of offense. Hack has run it a little bit, but I think Nixon can be more effective running that. And again, it goes back to what happens when he's in the game at the beginning of the game. When he came in against Kentucky, the Cajuns were 20-something points behind, and they were 3 touchdowns behind when he came in against Akron. I'm interested to see how this team can perform offensively if he's in the game from the beginning. And I'd be willing to bet right now the coaches are wondering that too.
All that being said, Jay, Vegas had the has the line, or it's floated a little bit. Opened at about 17. It's up to 18.5, 19 on some books. And then we use a website called MasseyRatings.com, has the Bulldogs winning by 9. How do you see this game playing out Saturday inside Joe Ice Stadium?
If Louisiana's going to win the game, Tech's going to have to help them, I think. And when I say that, I mean I'm talking specifically about turnover margin in the game. The Cajuns have not generated turnovers this year. They've generated only 2 in the first 3 games. They're -6 overall. If they can't be at least +2, I don't think they can win the football game, because I don't know how many times during the game they're going to be able to stop Tech's offense. I expect Tech to be able to score points. And the way that the Cajuns can keep them off the board is to take the football away. If they're able to do that, they've got a chance to be in the game, because despite the issues that they've had offensively, I still think this is a good enough offensive football team to put points on the board. But I don't think they're going to score every time they have the football, because Tech's got a very good front four. So I think that the Cajuns have got to be at least +2 in the turnover margin. If they are, then they've got a chance to be in the football game. But you know, there's a reason why Tech is a 2. Maybe some people think a 3-touchdown favorite in the game. And it's because Tech's offense is very, very good, and the Cajuns have struggled on the defensive side of the football. So, you know, when I saw the line, I said, you know, that's probably where I would have put it. And, you know, we'll see what happens with it. But, you know, the Cajuns were a 2-touchdown favorite last year and only lost by 28 points. And so sometimes Vegas is wrong.
And then one more thing for me, after Jason might have some more. What do you expect as far as injuries go in the secondary? I know some of the safeties have been hurt. Do you expect them back?
I think Dominic Jones will be able to play this week. I don't know about T.J. Worthy, and I got to tell you, they really miss him because he's their senior. And he's a guy that's a very physical player. He's a guy that's actually moved from linebacker to the safety spot. And if he can't play, that hurts. Christian Goodlett, who's a reserve safety, has been out 2 games now with a head injury. I don't think we're going to see him this week either. And I don't know that Jones will be 100%. You know, that the injury situation in the secondary is an issue for this football team, I think.
Yeah, I don't have another question, but I was just going to make a comment. I feel like you're right. I mean, That line is probably about fair around, you know, 2 touchdowns. But something tells me, you know, there's going to be a chip on their shoulder after that Akron loss and what happened last year. And when it's a rivalry game, a lot of times you can throw out the line. I feel like it's going to be maybe not a 1-possession game, but somewhere around 7 to 10 points, you know, whoever wins. I think it's going to be a close game. I feel like both teams are going to be playing with a lot of energy.
Well, Jay,
I was just going to say, you know, it's a shame because, except for last year, Louisiana Tech's players and the Cajuns players, they have no idea what this rivalry is.
It's true.
Because up until last year, the teams hadn't played in 10 years. And this is the second longest rivalry in the state of Louisiana football. Only LSU and Tulane have played more times than the Cajuns and the Bulldogs. You know, I hope and I wish that the 2 athletic directors, Tommy McClellan, who, by the way, I like an awful lot, and Scott Farmer, are able to get together. And, you know, if they can't make it an annual thing, okay, then you can't make it an annual thing. But it's silly to go 10 years without playing each other. It really is. These 2 teams need to play each other because the fans know what this rivalry has been like over the years. I'm glad they played last year. I'm glad they're playing this year. I hope they play again.
We agree wholeheartedly. These 2 guys do.
Well, and hey, one of the CBS guys predicted the 2 teams to meet up in the maybe it was the Heart of Dallas Bowl. Is one of the bowl projections had the Cajuns and Bulldogs this week, so who knows?
Yeah, who knows? You know, I know bowl games don't like rematches, so I don't know that we'll see that. But
I agree.
But I hope both teams are in a bowl, and I hope after this week Tech has great success. I'm I'm a Kenneth Dixon fan, I can tell you that. I've got a tremendous amount of respect for him, and he's going to be fun to watch again this week. I am, however, glad to report that after Saturday, I don't ever have to see him again.
Jay, we really appreciate you joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio tonight. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks so much for having me on, guys. We'll see you Saturday.
Absolutely. Jay Walker, play-by-play voice for the Raging Cajuns, joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Always good stuff from Jay. He's very honest. He tells it like it is, and that's all you can ask from a guest is for them to be honest. And that's what I try to do each and every week whenever we break down Louisiana Tech's opponent. Let's take this break. Jay, join us on the Fairway Carts of Minden Hotline. And this segment has also been brought to you by Pierce Service Company. Make sure you call Pierce Service Company for any of your needs. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. It's my Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. The fight song sung by the Bulldogs.
Nice.
You don't have the remix, John. They do a remix after every game, every win. They do a remix, and it's pretty entertaining in and of itself. You'll have to find that before next week. That's your homework. Your one and only homework. We are brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston, 111 North Trenton Street. Completely gutted the old Rogers Furniture. Go check those guys out. Britt Schott has done some great work in there. 255-7698. You won't be disappointed. Give us a call on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline, or give us a text on the text line, 888-993-7762. We're going to finish this one talking about ULL, and then in 7 o'clock hour, a little recruiting. Jason did a good story on basketball recruiting that we published today. And then 7:15, we'll wrap it up and give our predictions like always.
This hour is sponsored by Pierce Service Company. Last hour was sponsored by National Jewelry, so we want to thank all our sponsors for sure. Got a little trivia question for you.
For the giveaway of the tickets. There you go.
Two tickets to give away.
I'm glad you're here because I would have forgotten again.
Between now and the end of the show, first person to call in and tell us, how many yards did Bobby Raitel rush for, Haynesville's finest, 1999 against UL Lafayette? So I'll give you a hint. It's the third most in Tech history.
He went, as the kids say, he went ham that day.
888-993-7762.
50-yard line seats right in front of the press box. You cannot beat these seats. They are outstanding. I really thought that Jay Walker did an outstanding job in the previous segment. Nothing but honesty. He agreed with the line while I have been scratching my head a little bit at this line. And
I just think it's a little too high.
I do too.
But what's funny is people are taking the over, and so it's the line's jumping up a little bit.
Yeah, they haven't released an over under yet on that. Yeah, yes, they have. 64 is where it opened. 63 is where it is right now.
Well, and I guess I shouldn't have said taking the over, but people are actually putting money on Tech,
yeah,
apparently, because the line's
Tech with
stretching.
The points. Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's,
but hey, that shows, just like Jay said, Tech's offense is looking really good, and ULL struggling.
63 over under 64. I think that's about right. Especially, I guess Vegas is probably seeing it as a 42-30 or 42-20 game, 40 to 20 game, so somewhere around there. I still am struggling with that line. I don't even Massey ratings has it as at a 9 points. So it's befuddling to me.
really is.
It wasn't to Jay, which is what's weird. I mean, some of us aren't thinking of it objectively because of this rivalry aspect of this game.
Yeah, and
it's hard to think of it objectively. And last year, you don't want to. Tech fans got burned by the WKU game one, expecting Tech to just roll over Western Kentucky.
Well, and over half of McGuire's yards are against Northwestern State, and five out of his six rushing touchdowns. So some of their points are a little bit skewed like that, their yardage. And then against Kentucky, like he said, they were down 21, and a lot of what they did was in the fourth quarter when Kentucky basically just kind of quit. So he's seen them up close and personal. He knows the struggles they have on offense. He's seen what Tech's been able to do on offense. And, you know, I just really think, like he said, unless Tech just starts completely turning the ball over, Tech's going to go score points, and the Cajuns are going to struggle to score. So, you know, I just think when you do have – when you're backed up against the wall like that, Tech was last year. They're going down there. Everybody's thinking they're not going to win. Everybody's down on them. They come in there and just blow the doors off the Cajuns. So everybody's down in the Cajuns now. I expect them to give it their best effort, and at least for the first half. I mean, I don't see how they're going to just lay down and let Tech roll over them.
I totally agree. The matchups that I like for this one are very similar to the matchups I liked last week, and the ULL defensive line is nowhere near as good as the FIU defensive line, especially the DNs. The D tackles may be comparable because I was not impressed with the FIU D tackles. On the perimeter, they're probably not as good as the corners from FIU, and they're not going to run the ball as well. We got a winner for the tickets, Whitney Barnes. Congratulations, you have some great seats to watch Louisiana Tech take on the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana Lafayette.
Yeah, Bobby Raytel with 264 yards against the Cajuns in 99. Tim Rote was hurt that week, and so they just gave him a steady dose of the Haynesville Golden Tornado, and he tore them up.
264 yards.
And, you know, I'm looking at these stats.
Kenneth Dixon could do that.
I'm looking at these stats. You know, Tech's had one 300-yard rush game in its history, and I don't see Dixon up there in the top, you know, looks like four or five games at least. There's going to be a game where he just blows the doors off of 200 yards and gets close to 300. Hey, maybe this would be the week. And we were talking about Dixon earlier. So he's got 524 yards after four games. So he's on pace for 1,500 yards, you know, and go way past his career high. But look at some of the rush defenses that he still gets to face. This season, North Texas, number 111 in the country. Lafayette, 107. Rice, 106. Southern Miss, 103. UTEP, 95. That's some pretty bad rush. UTSA, 87. And Mississippi State's even number 80. I mean, almost every team on the schedule left is bad against the run. So Dixon's like licking his chops. He really is.
Let's go to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline with MH on line one. What's going on, MH?
Can't believe I looked up the wrong name on the Russian deal.
Oh, I know who MH is.
Can't believe I did that. Anyway, I didn't see Bobby Raytel. Anyway, 302 is what I said. All right, I want to know what y'all define as a rivalry. Oh, and before I say that or ask that, I want to say that I'm glad your guest only said Louisiana three times.
we cringed every time, or at least I
yeah,
did.
He did pretty good, but I want to know what y'all think is a rivalry.
Okay, here's my deal of a rivalry. If you cannot stand the thought of waking up on Sunday morning knowing that you lost to that team, if it's going to kill you for the rest of the year, that's probably a rivalry.
Yeah.
Or if you're on the recruiting trail, recruiting against someone, and you lose players to them, and every once in a while, they're a rival.
And that's one of the questions we had in the forums this week was, you know, what recruits might be at the game that Tech's recruiting, you know, against the Cajuns. There's really not a whole lot.
They got a commitment that
they do have a couple of commitments that Tech offered, one being a defensive end out of McKinley High School.
And a tight end that they got this week.
Yeah.
Or last week.
That was the second one. But out of McKinley, defensive end, 6'4", Nicholas Wiggins, he's also got a teammate, Juwan Ruffin, that has an offer from both schools. So that's two to look at. Another kid with an offer from both, Daniel Crosley out of, Denham Springs. he's got a twin brother apparently that plays linebacker that also has an offer for the McCajuns, but we've only offered Daniel the defensive end, and so has Houston and a couple other schools. So, yeah, there are a few kids down there in that Baton Rouge, Lafayette, Lake Charles area that both schools have offered, but it's not a whole lot. But I just think they've played for so long, they've got the history, and then also both fan bases hate the other one and cannot stand to lose to the other one. So I feel like there's much more of a rivalry there than Tech has with most other schools. We want to be rivals with Southern Miss, want to play them more often. We're finally in a conference with them and finally starting to win the last couple of years. But that series is so lopsided. Tech's got a lot more winning to do to kind of catch up with Southern Miss.
I agree.
So, there needs to be some hate there. I really do. And I think there is some hate there. But I guess my issue with it being a rivalry is the rivalry needs to be two-sided. They do hate us, but they didn't show up for the game last year. And that's what just boggles my mind, how they didn't show up for the game. And we will be there this weekend, I can assure you. We'll have a good number of folks. It may not be like the Southern game was, but it'll be a good number of folks. But you'll be able to look in the stands, you'll be able to see the red, and there won't be that much red there. Yeah. Nothing like what we brought down there last year.
I agree. And do you remember, Jay mentioned, you know, that haven't played in 10 years. I remember back in 04 and 05, I didn't make the game down there, but up here, they only brought, I want to say...
nothing. Maybe 500 to 1,000.
Yeah, I was thinking 1,500, 2,000 at most, yeah. But... Yeah,
nothing like Southern brought.
Yeah,
and I guess that has something to do with making a rivalry. But I agree, if they happen to win, it would be tough to deal with it on Sunday.
Oh yeah,
to say the least,
it really would. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it stinks when you lose to, you know, Idaho a few years ago at home or whoever, Old Dominion last year on the road. But you know, you're going to get over that. But you got to hear the fans of the other team, and you got to hear all their reporters talk about it for the rest of the year. And there's still a rivalry there. But yeah, I wish they would bring more fans to the games. And hey, I'm kind of glad the team didn't show up last year.
Well, I think our folks will show up for the good this week. And what I'm hearing is a lot of people that don't normally come to games. And it's kind of like the ULM deal. People that don't normally come to games come to that game, and that's what's happening this week. So
that's
a good thing.
While I've got you on, speaking of the other UL,
right?
Do you want that game to happen?
You know, I'd just assume that be the game as this one, because I think it would help us as much. But you know, and I don't think there's a danger of losing at all. And you know, this one, you know, if we lose this one, we lose something. If we lose the other one, there's not a chance of losing it anyway. So that'll fire them up.
I hear you, MH. Yeah, that will fire them up. Thanks for calling.
All right.
That just stirred the pot.
Yeah, I mean,
but I was the match.
Arkansas fans didn't think there was a chance that they would ever lose to ULM either, and it did happen. So I wouldn't be that overconfident.
Hey, speaking of Arkansas, just one last thing, and we'll go to the break. We got to have a short segment here. That Arkansas next year, right? That Arkansas game next year, all of a sudden doesn't look insurmountable.
Yeah, and somebody posted on Twitter not too long ago, a few weeks ago, that the stats really back up. Bringing back an offensive line is not near as a recipe for success as your secondary. And Arkansas's got this big, giant offensive line. Most of them are juniors. They played well last year. They haven't played as well this year. And who knows, maybe a couple of them will go pro. But, you know, that's not a big measure for success in future years. It's, do you bring back your secondary? Now, Tech's really young next year. Super young.
Really young on defense.
A lot of freshmen and sophomores are going to be playing next year. And so, you know, got some experience on the offensive line at receiver. If Xavier Woods comes back, that'll be one very big experienced defensive back. But that's why they moved the A&M, or got rid of the A&M game, and that's why they're playing at UMass, trying to get that schedule a little bit lighter. Now, of course, they play Texas Tech, and of course they're seeming to be on the upswing, which seems to happen all the time. I'll never forget Kansas in 2006. They're always awful. We go there 1 year and then boom, they're
except for 2 years ago when Tech just fumbled the ball away.
Tech should have beat them. Yeah, that was a good year to play them. 06 was not a good year to play them. Anyway, yeah, that should be a good game. I'm hoping. I wish the game was in Little Rock just because I still want to pay them back from 1997. But
you don't hold grudges, do you?
Oh, goodness, I do. Talk about the Zebras. That was one of the worst. But
well, let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll talk recruiting, a little bit about Jason's basketball story he put out today. This segment's been brought to you by Brennan Dodge and Dairy Queen. Dairy Queen coming soon on Tech Drive. We'll be back right after this.
Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue, brought to you by Trenton Interiors of Ruston. Give us a call on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline, 888-993-7762, or send us a text on the same Fairway Carts of Minden text line, 888-993-7762. Congratulations to the winner, once again, of the tickets, Whitney Barnes, with the answer of 264 yards by Bobby Ray Tell against the Cajuns in 1999. Three of Tech's top six rushing performances have been against those raging Cajuns.
Will we see four out of seven after Saturday?
It's very possible. Jason, you did a good story today about Tech basketball recruiting, and wow, has Tech's area of concentration changed. Tech hires Eric Conkle from Miami, and the logical thing was, well, Tech's going to stay in Florida for their recruiting. Hadn't happened. They picked up, of course, Derek Jean last year, got his commitment back, but they have changed their area of interest.
Oh, yeah, and it's Dallas by a landslide now.
And one local guy.
Yeah, you know, one player, Adriel Bailey from Campy, Louisiana, which is 60 miles exactly down the road. If you're going through the woods, through Saline down there to get to Natchitoches, you'll go right by his high school. But he plays summer league basketball in Dallas.
Well, there you go.
So even though he's not from Dallas, that's another Dallas-type player. But Tech's got two commitments in the last 2 weeks. Jalen Harris, 6'5 guard from Duncanville, and Oliver Powell from Rowlett, which Tech has Cedric Johnson on the football team from Rowlett. And both of these guys had several really good offers. Powell had Rice, SMU, Kansas State, and a few others. Harris had a who's who of the mid-majors, including Utah State, UTEP, Florida Gulf Coast, Tulsa, a few others. Harris plays summer basketball with Jacoby Pemberton, who's visiting this weekend.
Last week,
6'6", really long. And he had offers, Tulsa, Rice, Southern Miss, Central Michigan, some more of the top mid-major programs in the country. And they're tweeting at each other saying, you know, let's come all go to the same place.
Jalen Harris said, we're building something special with Oliver.
Oliver Powell and Jacoby Pemberton. And then
trying to make it the big three, he said.
And I think Tech's got four spots next year, so that doesn't leave out Bailey if they can get him. He's got several offers. I've seen some reports that Houston, Arkansas, and Oklahoma State have even offered him recently, but he's coming on campus this weekend, right?
Who?
Bailey from Campy.
Yes, Bailey will be here this weekend.
And that's huge because if he does have offers from Arkansas and Oklahoma State, we know he has offers from Wichita State, Charlotte, Stephen F. Austin, who's right down the road as well and one of the better mid-major programs in the South. You know, just to get him on campus is really good. They've got some really good momentum going.
Good segue right here for a little bit more basketball talk. Right before we came on the air, you saw something about SMU, which SMU is where? In the Dallas-Fort Worth area in Dallas. I wonder if and you saw that the NCAA is allowing players at SMU to transfer and not sit down a year.
And they've got two seniors that are,
and they're on the quarter system.
Well, they can't transfer to semester schools because they're already too far gone in school. So they can only transfer to quarter system schools, which most of them are on the West Coast.
Gotcha.
I think DePaul, Louisiana Tech, maybe a couple others are in the
Oregon.
Well, DePaul Tech and maybe a couple others on this side of the country, but everybody else is, West Coast, a lot of California schools, Oregon, Washington, whatever. And so these two guys that they've got that are seniors, one transferred from the East Coast, the other one from the Midwest. They're both fifth-year guys, so they've transferred before. Maybe they'll want to get out of there. Who knows? I'm sure all these quarter system schools are going to contact them and put a feeler out. But Tech,
6'9", what's the 6'9"'s name? Do you remember?
I don't. They've got a 6'9" center and a 5'9" point guard who's all conference. But I'm sure that there's going to be a few schools putting feelers out.
Tech has one spot available, I believe.
I think Tech's got 12 scholarship players, if you count Luckett, that transferred in from Alcorn State. And I always forget if it's Alcorn or Alcorn. I get correct.
Alcorn.
I get reminded every time I say it wrong, but I can't ever keep it straight. But anyway, so I think we've got 12. You're allowed 13. So, yeah, maybe there is something that could happen there. But obviously, I think several schools are going to be calling saying, hey, check us out. We've got a spot for you. So if those guys are wanting to get out of that dumpster fire that is SMU basketball, there might be a place for them somewhere.
And going back to those questions that we were asked to answer this week, one being recruiting about Tech players that Tech is recruiting that – And ULL's recruiting. ULL got a commitment from a tight end out of Texas.
But he listed his top five a few weeks ago.
And Tech wasn't in it.
Tech wasn't in it. So, yeah, we did offer him, or Tech did offer him, but it's not like Tech was in on that one. But Nicholas Wiggins was the defensive end from McKinley and Baton Rouge. That was the one. And then his teammate Juwan Ruffin, the receiver, has an offer from both schools. I'm interested to see if those two players will be at the game Saturday. I'll be interested to see when the visit list comes out, when you get that on the Tech Drive forum of BleedTechBlue.com.
And we look at the at those questions. I'm sure there's some more. It looks like we've got some a new one this week from the mathematician of Bleed Tech Blue himself. But you look at recruiting, Jason. Where do you? What are the biggest positions of need to fill left on for Louisiana Tech?
Really, there's only one. That's wide receiver. There's no commitments yet. They've got 16. We expect them to go after 22 to 23 players, just because Coach Holtz always likes to keep a couple of spots open for transfers, because he's really done well in that the last couple of years, getting guys that transfer over the summer or just are kind of come up late in the game, and he wants to be able to have a spot open in case something happens. But really good class full of defensive players last year, more great defensive players this year. They've got a few more defensive players they're looking at that are big name players. And we talked about who have the Cajuns offered that Tech's offered. Well, there's a few in the state that everybody's offered. Nehemiah Augustus, Nate Evans out of John Curtis. There's a couple like that that both teams have offered. But other than that, really the two defensive ends, the one from McKinley and the one from Denham Springs, are really the only two that that both seem to be, right there in the mix for.
What kind of wide receiver is Tech looking for? Does it appear? Is it an outside guy, somebody with some length and some speed? Is it an inside guy, maybe to be the heir apparent to Trent Taylor? What's it look like Louisiana Tech is looking for?
I'm really seeing, just the prototypical 6'1", 6'2", playmaker. I mean, that's who was signed last year, and that seems to be who's offered this year. I don't see a lot of 6'6", 6'5", big tight end types, and I don't see a lot of 5'9", speed burners either. But, I mean, Douglas Coleman, 6'1", receiver from Zachary.
So, really, guys that could play either is what they're looking for. Somebody like a Paul Turner who could play either.
Yeah, just good receivers.
Or Carlos Henderson that can line up anywhere on the field. So, yeah. that's
And guys that might could play defense too. I mean, we talked about
– just good athletes.
Yeah, we talked about Doug Coleman, from Zachary, can play both ways. And then I think the receiver out of Dallas whose dad played here.
Gerard Sanders?
Yeah, Gerard Sanders, Glenel Sanders' son, who his dad's a linebacker, but Gerard's like 6'2", I think. So I'm not seeing, and they don't really need that 5'10", 5'11". They've got Tarzan that transferred in, Alfred Smith, and then Trent Taylor will be back next year. So they don't necessarily need that guy that can go over the middle.
Now forget about Tarzan, and he's going to be open. He's going to be a beast.
So I just really think they're going for the best player available.
Here's a tease of a question that we'll talk about after the break for the final segment, and we don't have a ton of time, but we'll talk about it. Do you expect Tech to go after another quarterback transfer, or will the answer be Jamar Price or Ryan Higgins for next season? We'll talk about that right after this. This segment brought to you by Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty. We'll be back right after this.
Your interior design.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7, brought to you by Trenton Interiors of Ruston, 111 North Trenton Street, inside the historic Rogers Furniture Building. Give them a call, 318-255-7698. Some talented folks doing work inside of Trenton Interiors and Company. Go see those guys. Well, Jason teased a little question. Will it be Jamar Smith, Price Wilson, or Ryan Higgins next season? My money's on...
Or a transfer.
Or a transfer. My money's on Jamar Smith or Price Wilson.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if Ryan Higgins is clearly the best one at fall camp, they're going to give him a shot first. But, I mean, I think Smith was so impressive this fall. And
he just has to continue to progress and not have a sophomore slump or a second-year slump.
And the staff has been so high on Price Wilson since they recruited him. Next year's going to be a rebuilding year. They're going to be super young. And but you will have some veteran receivers and offensive linemen to make it easy on a young quarterback to get in there and not just totally have nothing to work with.
And a talented backfield with Jared Kraft and Jacquees Dancy and Boston Scott.
Yeah, and so
– Ladarius Thomas from – Wasman, who was out for the year.
So, yeah, I mean, I think next year's the perfect year to play a young guy and build towards 2017 and 18, which both of those years are lining up to be special years. So the only way you can have a lot of experience coming back in 17 and 18 is play those guys in 16 that are young and let them go through the battles and get that game experience. And I really don't see – I mean, it's almost like, okay, yeah, so Tech's got to transfer a quarterback 2 years in a row. They must be going after a third one. Well, that's just like, you know, Tech keeps hiring coaches' kids. So this basketball hire last year must be a coach's kid. Well, finally they did not, unless Coach Conkle's dad is some coach that I've never heard of. But, you know, that streak's going to break at some point. I think this year you'll see that. The schedule lines up for it, playing UMass. You know, you're going to Texas Tech and Arkansas, but it's not like you're going to Oklahoma or Clemson or Texas or any of these big giant schools.
Not to interrupt you, but we'll finish up. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, next year's rebuilding year, play the young guys. Now, if there is a transfer, I would say it's probably a JUCO. I noticed Gardner Minshew, who Tech looked at 2 years ago, is tearing it up at Northwest Mississippi. They might get a JUCO in there just to have an experienced player to compete with the other guys, but they're not going to get a fifth-year senior, I would not think. And if they got a JUCO, it might be somebody as a walk-on. I doubt they take up a scholarship spot with one.
You know, it was crazy last year, or not last year, last week, David Neal was so close at predicting that score. 27-20 is what he called.
It's pretty close.
Pretty stinking close. I don't remember what I did because I make such wags, as my dad would say, that who knows where they end up being.
I was 31-13, so take 4 points away from FIU and give it to Tech, and I would have been right.
But there you go. That's not far either.
Not far, but I was a little bit too optimistic, I guess.
This week, I'll go ahead and start us off. It's not usual for me to start us off. I see 42-24.
I was going to say 34-24. Tech could break it loose, and if they get the turnovers, they will. But if they don't, I feel like the Cajuns are going to play well for at least three quarters, and really, they've just got so much to –
They got a lot to play for.
Yeah, and they've just got so much.
Not that Tech doesn't.
Yeah, they've got so much of a chip on their shoulder from last year and the last week that they've got to come out with their hair on fire. They really do.
John?
41-17, Tech.
Nice.
There you go. Texas won 7 straight. They're going for number 8 against the Cajuns.
And most of them hadn't been close. This is dating back to the mid to late 90s.
And I understand where some Tech fans can come from whenever you've beat a team 7 times in a row, could be 8, to call it not a rivalry because they haven't beat you. I understand that line of logic. But if you want to win as badly as Tech fans do ULL, it's something more than just a normal every other day game. And there's nothing between rivalry and just Joe Schmo FIU.
Yeah, I mean, this is not...
The English language does not have a word to describe that.
Yeah, this is not Akron coming to town. You know, this is not, I think, Tech's playing South Alabama in a few years or one of the MAC teams. I mean, this is a team that's in the state and that you don't like. So that's got to mean rivalry at least to some degree.
And I did find out that Tech will have timeout for Tech Saturday. So there's another several thousand fans, 2,000 to 3,000, I'm being told, of prospective Tech students and their parents. So if we're going to do attendance predictions, I said 20,000 last week, and I was right on the money of what they announced. They announced 20,010.
Yeah, and I was hopeful. I said 22, and when I saw the crowd outside, I was thinking, oh, well, it's not even going to get it to 18. So the West Side really filled out way more than I thought it would.
I'll say 25 for Saturday, maybe even 26, but I'm going to go 25.
I'm going to say 24 just to be negative Nancy, but I could see 25 happening, and I hope it does.
From the people that I've talked to that are coming in, and the word about this game, everybody, this one's got a lot of talk around it, which is unusual for a Tech game. That doesn't happen a lot. The Southern game had some talk about it, and there was 27. So I could see 25, and there's been a lot of empty seats inside the DAC. I don't think there'll be any empty seats this week.
No, I don't either. I think it's going to be a nice atmosphere. The weather's going to be perfect, like you said. And, Tech fans might not be so eager for a revenge or a it's us against the world type deal like it was last year. But I think Tech fans do like to have a chance to see Tech beat down the Cajuns again. And nothing would be more fun than to have a big blowout win like that. It's going to be the last time you get to see them for a while. They go to San Antonio next week and then Mississippi State. So it'd be good to get a big win in front of the home crowd.
So Saturday we got a high of 81 and a low of in the 50s. So at game time, we're looking at the temperature of in the upper 70s, and by the time it's over, in the mid 60s. You can't ask for better weather.
Me and you won't, but some of you might want to bring your jackets.
I will definitely not need a jacket. Maybe. I don't need a jacket until it gets to be a 4 in front of the number.
Oh, yeah, 39 or lower. But
39 or lower. You're that guy walking around with a short-sleeve shirt on at 42 degrees.
Oh, you know I am.
I am most of the time, too.
That's why everybody always tells me, you're going to get sick, and I probably always do, but oh well.
Appreciate you, Jason. Good work this week. John, same for you on the ones and the twos. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll be back the same time next week, Tuesday, 6 to 7:30 here on ESPN Radio 97.7. We're brought to you by Trenton Interiors of Ruston. Give those guys a call, 255-7698. We'll see you next time.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors, every Tuesday, 6 to 7:30 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Jonathan Ford. Our show is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as your hotline sponsor, Fairway Cards. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.